Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored. That you are. Well, there's a bag on my... It's not ticking, so... Fill me up. Oh, snap! Woo! Oh, snap. Hallelujah. Thank you, whoever, wherever it came from. All things come from the Father. Woo! Man, you'd be snappy if you drink that much coffee. You'd be snapped out. You had to be here Friday night to get that. If you weren't here Friday night, you missed it. Woo! Yes, praise God. Sure beats watching TV on a Friday night, let me tell you. Oh, praise God. Yes, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. God is good all the time. Today... Things are happening. Things are moving rapidly. Even though sometimes things don't seem to be moving, they are. Amen. We are in a state to where there is great resistance spiritually. The enemy is trying to resist in multiple ways. God is exposing because we are in a year of exposure. And as the Lord begins to expose multiple things of what's going on, one of the things that the Lord exposes is the enemy's strategies. And as we begin to, the reason why he exposes the enemy's strategies is so that you and I can pray against them. So sometimes there's something getting ready to happen where there's a delay because of the prayers of the saints. So you and I, in this arena that God has given us, you know, everyone here is called to intercede. There's not just one ministry of intercession. Not that there is not a ministry of intercession. Do you understand that? Because there are a group of individuals that do nothing but intercede. But every believer should be an intercessor. This is not dependence on the intercessory group. No. In fact, Jesus said something very powerful through Paul. He said, look, if they come to you and ask to pray, tell them to go pray. Go pray. You know, many people ask for prayer, and there's nothing wrong with asking for prayer. But you better pray first yourself. Because God ain't going to ask you your prayer if you ain't praying. You know, people call prayer lines, oh, pray for me. And they're not praying themselves. You know what? Ain't nothing happening. Because too much touch and agree. Your prayer and their prayer. Does everybody understand? So in this, there is a time of intercession to combat, to destroy, to bring confusion in the enemy's camp. And if you're not willing to be an individual that is a first striker, I guarantee you, you'll be struck first. Amen. And then you will have struggles. You'll get caught up. You'll be snared by deception. Because that's one of the things that you and I battle every day. Our battle is deception. That's what it is. And you know what? We are in a season right now where there's right words, but wrong spirit. I'm going to say that again. We're in a season right now where there's right words, but wrong spirit. In other words, what people are saying may be right, but the spirit is wrong. Even Lucifer himself and demons and demonic forces, they can quote the scriptures. They can give right words, but they're the wrong spirit. Amen? So there's something that you and I are going to need right now. It's called penetrating faith. It's a faith that penetrates. And it penetrates the wisdom of this world, the lust of this world, the fears, the demonic influence. It penetrates your environment. It penetrates your problems and your circumstances. It penetrates everything. It is the faith that goes into the future and grabs hold of the promises of God and brings them into the presence. It's called penetrating faith. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Is everybody there? Can we speak this together, please? In verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, here's the battle. There's a battle right now going on. And in that battle, it is associated, the battle is against the wisdom of men, the wisdom of the world, and the faith of God. Here's a battle going on right now, and it's continuously, and it's increasing. So you and I are going to need penetrating faith. Why? So that we come out of the arena of men-pleasing and fall in the arena of God-pleasing. It says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. See, many people are putting their faith in the wisdom of men and not in the wisdom of God. They're hearing all kinds of things going on. In fact, people are becoming fearful. Let me tell you something. If you really have a relationship with the Lord, it don't matter what's going on. You should be busting through fear. That's why we need penetrating faith that busts through fear. And when that fear comes in front, it busts through it. Because you're grabbing hold of the future, not of the present. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, He's faithful. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. See, the rulers and the wisdom of this age, they are called the enlightened ones. They think they know it all. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For whose glory? Our glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So again, we are in a battle of faith against the wisdom of man. They have right words, but that's the wrong spirit. They sound good. They even sound holy, but it's the wrong spirit. There's many religious organizations that have the right words, but it is the wrong spirit. Amen? Many people have more faith in technology than they do God. Technology is overtaking everything. It's replacing God. Everything that the enemy tries to do is replace Jesus. That's his purpose, with something else. In James chapter 3, there's a lot of I amers out there now. Government, politicians, political, all kinds of things. A lot of I am, bankers, the I amers. They're the what they call the enlightened ones, the elite. They're relying on this wisdom that has been granted them. But the problem is that wisdom has been granted them from Satan's kingdom. And so they serve Satan's kingdom willfully. In Genesis chapter 3, this is how it began. In verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast. Why? Because it had wisdom. But it turned the glory of God's wisdom into manipulating wisdom. Self-gaining, selfish ambitions, self-seeking wisdom. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, he already knew what God said to the woman, didn't he? What was he trying to do? He was trying to alter. He was trying to change course of God's will. He was trying to interrupt the will of God. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So she told the serpent what God said. It's real simple. You're going to die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you're not going to die. God's a liar. And look at this, what he says next. He says, For God knows that if you eat of this, if you eat what I'm going to give you, you're going to be like God. Because he's actually holding something back from you. He doesn't want you to be like him. But I'm here to come and rescue you from this garden. Because you're in prison right now and don't even know it. But I'm here to rescue you from the garden. Eat of what I give you and you'll be like God. And she did. She gave to her husband. And from that point on, all the way down, generation after generation after generation, man became separated from God and began to serve the serpent because they wanted to be like God. The eye syndrome. Now you have the Satan's bloodline, because there's 13 bloodlines that come down. They are called the elite. People call them the Illuminati, whatever. They're the most deceived with wisdom. They have so much wisdom, they're deceived themselves. But it's the deception wisdom. They actually believe that they are gods. Does everybody understand? That's why they've sold their souls out. They actually believe that the serpent is going to win the battle over God because they're gods. So if they have all of these gods against one God, there's no reason why they should lose. That's called stupid. Serpent called God a liar. He insinuates that God is holding something back from man. He said, what am I holding back? Well, he's holding back that you're going to be like God. Self-seeking wisdom to manipulate with deception. Again, here it is. Sounds right. Wrong spirit. Sounds right. Wrong spirit. That is increasing everywhere. This is how the false enlightened ones think, serving the serpent as God, because of the false rescue in the Garden of Eden. Do you understand this? It was a false rescue. In Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say what? I am a God. Does everybody see this? I am a God. I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a God, though you set your heart as the heart of a God. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasures. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Who's he talking about? Satan. Go to verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord, you are the seal of perfection, full of what? Wisdom and beauty and perfect beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, diamond, braille, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrel and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created, because Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe. He said, you are the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God, which was the earth. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones because Lucifer was there when God created the earth. You were perfect in the ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you, until you decided to think you were a god. 2 Corinthians 11. So we see the source. See, God is actually allowing them to use their wisdom to trap themselves. They're in their own nets. They're trapped themselves. 2 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah. So the battle is the faith in the Lord and God and his promises and the wisdom of man. It's constantly bombarding us everywhere we go. In verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity of those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. In other words, they are false. They are false disciples, apostles. Verse 13, for such are what? False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. You know how many people he's visited that have started religions? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Right words, wrong spirit. Whose end will be according to their works. Paul says, again, I say, let no one think me as a fool. Otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may also boast a little. He said, look, you're not going to get away with it. Why? Because I have the wisdom of God that can penetrate. I can see things through. False apostles, Satan himself is an angel of light. Right words, wrong spirit. The Pope is going around with right words, but he's the wrong spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't see anything about climate change or control in the Bible. In fact, I know the one who holds the climate in his hands. Hallelujah. I don't see where it says, come out from among them. And if anyone brings another gospel, throw them out. Don't invite them. Hello? Right words, wrong spirit. Oh, it's good to feed, clothe, and shelter those in need. Yes, those are the right words. But see, Satan's kingdom always has partial truth with great deception. They sound good, but it's the wrong spirit. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Would you read it with me? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are what? They're perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the what? Wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe or follow. Again, the word believe means to follow. There are many who have the right words, but it's the wrong spirit. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, there's going to be times when you're going to be around a lot of people that are people that have a lot of wisdom. And they're going to sound really good. And they're going to be good people. They'll have right words, but they're still wrong spirit. They'll try to tell you, they'll try to bring you down. They'll try to degrade you because you follow the message of the cross. So try to tell you that you're deceived and foolish. But we carry the wisdom from above, not from the wisdom of beneath. There is a difference. So everybody understand? So you and I are going to need penetrating faith to see things all the way through and grab hold of the promises of the future and bring them in the present. That's why we need penetrating faith right now. It melts away everything. It burns out all wisdom of man and releases the wisdom and promises of God Almighty, that you may walk in eternal presence all the time and not a temporary presence. Hallelujah. The cross, the message, is manifested wisdom of God in Jesus through the Holy Spirit for me and you. It's that we might know all things pertaining to the kingdom business of eternity and the satanic strategies that snare people. These strategies, the satanic kingdom, is overcoming God's people because they're not staying filled with the Spirit. They're not staying in unity and abiding. They're not maintaining and feeding their spirit with the Word and drinking of the Spirit. They're not maintaining in the assembling where it's so needed now. We need to be not just filled, but overflowed. Because drainage is quicker now. It's no longer just once a week. The pressure of the kingdom of darkness that's pressing us so strong now is draining people quicker. Some people are drained in a day and don't even know it. And they're beginning to exchange the wisdom of God for the wisdom of man. And their faith is decreasing. And they're not able to penetrate. And are relying more on man than God. Or more on themselves. In Psalm 111, we must overcome the strategies of Satan's kingdom. Expose them and destroy them. How many all know that the enemy is preparing a snare for you? Every day he prepares, he tries to outwit you. Every day, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, he's trying to cause you to exchange your faith for man's wisdom. So that you rely on doctors, you rely on psychiatrists, medication, and everything else more than you do God. It doesn't mean you don't stop taking certain things. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because your understanding is that he is the source of all things and everything else is a resource. And every good thing comes from him. Psalm 111. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. You know, what kind of food is that? Spiritual food. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. Now listen, there's something the Lord says. He says, God rejects the proud. That's the wisdom of man. But he gives grace to the humble. Grace is God's plan. It's called food. Verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. And are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, man's wisdom does not fear God. It fears man. It's in competition with man. The fear of the Lord, of which the fear of the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, when a man pleases man, when a man pleases man, he's because he's doing his will. When a man pleases God, he's doing God's will. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments, who do his bidding, who obey him when he speaks. His praise endures forever. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And Daniel chapter 12. Hallelujah. Penetrating faith. What's the battle against? The faith in God and the wisdom of man. This is where there's a difference between common sense, okay? Because there's the common sense of carnality, and then there's the common sense of the Spirit. It's different. Because the common sense of the Spirit is called discerning of spirits. Verse 1, Daniel 12, let's speak it. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. So we know that Israel has to become a nation. Amen. Even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, that book of life. But see, man's wisdom prevents people from getting in the book of life because they're relying on themselves, because they're a part of the I am syndrome. Right words, wrong spirit. Verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3. Those who are wise shall shine. This is God's wisdom. Like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Listen, the book, the seals of Daniel have been broke because we are in the end time. He says, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Why? Because knowledge has increased. Does everybody get it? Those who are wise will shine. Knowledge will increase. Wisdom of man will increase. Technology will increase. But the wisdom of God will increase also to those who follow. In this, many things are increasing in every area. So we are going to need penetrating faith. So we're not misled by the increase of man's wisdom, by the increase of technology, by all of these things that are increasing all around us that are oppressing me and you. Does everybody understand that? We are going to need penetrating faith. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, is everybody there? The Bible says that there'll be mockers in the last days. And one of the things that they're going to say is, where's your God? Where's your God? Look at all these signs that are going on. Where's your God? Come on, you've been prophesying all of these things that are supposed to happen. Where are they happening? Let me tell you, they are happening. We're going to talk more about that Tuesday. But there's something I want to share with you. Because if you truly think about it, everything that's occurring right now with all the blood moons, the Jubilee, the Shemitah, everything that's going on, falling on the feast, will not happen again for 500 years. It will not happen again for another 500 years. That means it's going to happen. There's no doubt. Something's going to happen. Tribulation is going to start soon. Because it ain't going to happen in another 500 more years. Because we are the generation of the birth of the nation of Israel. And it will not pass away until these things come. So don't get swayed. Don't be misled by man's wisdom. It's going to happen. We're in it. We're the generation. We're the warriors. We're the wise. We're the shine. We're the witnesses. And we're the extension of his hands, his mouth, his presence, and his love, his power. Do not be misled by what the world says and what man's wisdom is. You hold fast. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now faith is what? Is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to share with you what faith. Faith is spiritual matter of light from the future. Faith is spiritual matter of light from the future that penetrates to the promises of God for you. It is actually matter. It is light matter in the future. God's promises. His word is matter. It's light matter. That's why he creates with his word. It is light matter. Now, what's happening right now is CERN's trying to open up dark matter. So when God spoke, he spoke light because his words are light matter. Faith is spiritual matter of light from the future that penetrates the promises of God for you. In other words, you penetrate. You go through. Is everybody with me? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, that's future, isn't it? The evidence of things not seen. In other words, the evidence that there are things that are not in this present. Well, who's to bring them in? we are. Penetrating faith goes into the future by penetrating worldly affairs, worldly wisdom, worldly lust, worldly fears, selfish ambitions, demonic presence and influence. Penetrating faith grabs hold of eternal promises to bring them in the present to fulfill the will of God, where there is right words and the right spirit. That's why the word says, increase your faith by hearing the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is light matter. It says, pray in tongues by increasing your faith. Why? Because you're praying the mysteries of God. You're penetrating through everything, physical, spiritual forces of darkness, principalities, wickedness in heavenly places. You're penetrating through everything into the future, where all the storehouses of God is, where all of His promises are. And you're grabbing hold of those things, and you're bringing them into the present, and you're decreeing. Penetrating faith burns all the other stuff away. Does everybody understand? What does this say? The word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why? Because when you speak the word of God, you are creating a bridge. You're creating a hall, a stairway. Why? Because His word is light matter. It's light, tangible matter. And it's our responsibility to bring it in, to lay it, to prepare it. And the more that you decree it, the more that you receive it, the more that you increase your faith. In other words, you're standing on what God has said, not what man has said. And you're bringing it in and you're standing on it. You're standing on it. Why? Because you're standing on matter, light matter. Is everybody okay? In verse 2, it says, by it the elders obtained a good testimony. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, matter, light matter. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are what? Visible. They were made by what? Invisible things. Everything that you see, all the universe, was made by invisible things. Why? Because it's light matter. Those things were in the future that God sent forth into a present and put it in a place of time. That's all you see is what you see is light matter. The earth is light matter that's been contaminated with dark matter. Dark matter rules the earth. Does everybody understand that? And it's trying to sway you into releasing light matter into dark matter, so that you follow the wisdom of man, sell your birthright, become famous, become all of these things that man offers. Does everybody understand? The riches and all the things. Now again, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, as long as the heart is right. In other words, we live, we do what we do to expand the kingdom of God, not to build our own empire. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I guess, how many houses and cars do we need? First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. They're falling from faith. They're letting go. They're saying the right words, but the spirit is different now. See, when you let go of Him, He lets go of you. But He waits for you to grab hold again. Look, at you're going to get fed somewhere. Everyone must eat to survive. Everyone must drink to survive. Now, if you're eating and drinking of man's wisdom, then what you're only doing is strengthening your old man. And you're promoting pride. And God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. See, you'll know, the word says you'll know them by their fruit, right? Well, if a tree is getting good nourishment, it will produce the right fruit. If it's not getting the correct nourishment, it will produce rotten fruit. So if a tree is eating of light matter, it'll produce righteous fruit. If a tree is eating dark matter, it'll produce unrighteous fruit. But it will look good. Does everybody understand it? It'll have the right words, but it'll be the wrong spirit. Matthew 24. Many people are not penetrating because they're not utilizing the penetrating faith. See, they may say I have faith, but they don't fight. They don't penetrate. How many of y'all know there's levels of faith? If there's three chambers in a tabernacle, there's three levels of faith. And we need to utilize and get to that place where we have penetrating faith, where we are immovable, stable, solid. So solid that no matter what comes across our path, we don't move. We don't budge. We don't compromise. We don't even consider. We don't consider looking back. Matthew 24, is everybody there? In verse 3, now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, what's he say? Take heed that what? No one deceives you. Look at this. For what? Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Is that happening now? Yes, all over. All over. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. You and see that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows is just about ending. The beginning of sorrows is just to break the seals so that things can begin. But Jesus was warning. Many will come in my name. They'll use my words, but they won't be the right spirit. They'll sway you with man's wisdom and not my wisdom. But they'll use my name. 1 John chapter 5. Penetrating faith lets go of all carnal wisdom. All carnal common sense. Let me share with this that when there's penetrating faith, what you're hitting is absolutes. These are absolutes. They're not maybes. They're not ifs. They're not could-bes. These are absolutes. It's different. It's an absolute. No compromise in it. No change, no sway, no nothing. It's an absolute. That's what penetrating faith does. It brings the absolute into the present. In verse 1, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read it. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves him who begotten also loves him who is begotten of him. Everyone say, I'm begotten of him. So I'm his offspring. So then we all think the way he thinks. And we want to see what he sees. We want to hear what he hears. Does everybody understand that? But see, that's got to be a prayer. Lord, allow me to see what you want me to see today. Allow me to hear what you want me to hear today. Establish my steps. Open the doors that are view and shut the doors that are not. Snare my enemies in their nets as I bind a strong man wherever I go. And blind my enemy. Bring confusion in their camps. Allow me their strategies that I can destroy their work. Didn't Jesus come to destroy the works of the enemy? Well, that's been handed to me and you now. It's too many wimpy believers. Not enough boldness. Too busy building their own empire. Fulfilling their own will and desires. Verse 2. Would you read it? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our what? Our faith. Our faith. This is penetrating faith that he's talking about. It's what overcomes the world. Does everybody get it? Why? Because all the strategies of the world is going to come against your faith. You're going to need penetrating faith to bust through all the strategies, all the affairs, all the entanglements, everything associated with the world. See, and let me share this with you, that these spirits that promote the wisdom of man will use anyone to discourage you, mislead you, and cause you to fade from penetrating faith. Has everybody got it? But we overcome by penetrating faith. and 1 John chapter 2. And we'll close here. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 18. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Again, faith is spiritual matter of light from the future that penetrates to the promises of God for you. Verse 18, little children, is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come. Right words, wrong spirit. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. Why? Because that anointing carries wisdom of God. It carries the wisdom, the knowledge, understanding, the discernment, all the gifts and everything that you and I need. Even the gift of faith to penetrate into the eternal arena where matter, light matter, is to bring into the present. For you have an anointing from the Holy One, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, and you know all things. And I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the anointed one and his anointing? The Christ. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Denies the Father and the Son. Look at how many religions deny the Father and the Son. They're Antichrist. Now remember this. I want you to grab hold of this. Is the moon considered light matter or dark matter? Dark matter. It has a false light, doesn't it? So anything that's associated with a crescent moon is evil. Anything with a crescent moon is evil. They may have the right words, but it's the wrong spirit. There are organizations that are good people. They do all kinds of things. They collect money and do all kinds of things, but they carry the crescent. They have good works, but the wrong spirit. That's how they sway people into their organizations. But they don't know what's going all the way up to the high echelon behind closed doors. Amen? Verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you, sway you with what? Man's wisdom. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that any man teach you. So it's the anointing that's teaching me and you today. It's not the man, it's the anointing that teaches me and you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him, in the anointing. So do you think the anointing is essential? Absolutely. That's what many people lack. The anointing through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The anointing. The eternal presence, power, and truth of God. The anointing that gives you the language to increase your faith so that you can have penetrating faith. The anointing that guides you to all truth. The anointing that tells you, exposes the enemy's strategies. The anointing. Without abiding and being filled with the anointing, the world will overtake you. The elite is on the rise. The false enlightened ones are rising up and truly trying to sway as many believers as they can. They're causing an exchange of man's wisdom for faith in God. Don't let it happen to you. Stay focused, stay solid, stay consistent, and maintain your course that he has predestined for you. Every one of us was sent into this world to fulfill a mission. Let's fulfill it and get out of here. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We're honored and blessed. Protect this seed. Let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. Prepare our hearts for communion. And you may bring your offerings and tithes up in Jesus' name.